Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the seventh chapter of the book of Acts.
The story of Pentecost. Some of us may have heard this story many, many times, probably every year on this Sunday, as long as we've been coming to church. But I invite you to listen as if hearing it for the first time, with fresh ears, with fresh mind, with open eyes, to see what new thing God might be speaking to you. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Peter continues to preach the very first sermon recorded in the book of Acts. And then the story picks up at the conclusion of his sermon. "And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe you've heard it before. Sometimes we say it, especially as we're explaining the meaning of Pentecost to children. We'll call this day the birthday of the church. But that's not entirely accurate, is it? Because the church, the body of Christ, the Christian movement, had already been around for a little while before this day. It was formed among the disciples who dared to drop everything and follow Jesus. It grew slowly, and according to the book of Acts, on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, the story we read last week, the Christian church was at that time about 120 people strong. Still very small in size, but it was there nonetheless. It had already been born by the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It had already been shaped by his death and resurrection. No, what happens at Pentecost is something different. It's not the birth of the community. It's the beginning of their adventure. It's the event that launches this tiny fellowship on an international journey, an odyssey through the ages that continues into our own day. The summer harvest festival of Pentecost was important. Like Passover 50 days beforehand, this was another grand celebration that saw pilgrims traveling from all around the known world into Jerusalem. Because of a painful history of having been conquered many times by the major superpower empires of the ancient world, the Jewish people had been spread out far beyond the original boundaries of Israel for many, many generations. By the time that Jesus was around, there were actually more Jews living outside their traditional boundaries than there were living inside. And after so many generations, they began to speak, of course, the native language of the places in which they lived, many of them forgetting their Hebrew roots. But on special occasions, like Pentecost, Jewish travelers from all these other countries would descend on Jerusalem like crowds flocking to the beach for the Hangout Music Festival. While area tourism was booming, the fledgling church was unsure of what to do next. Before Jesus had left them, he told them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what in the world was that supposed to mean? They'd been twiddling their thumbs for days now, waiting on something to happen, something decisive. Like sheep without a shepherd, they did not know where to go, what to do. They had no sense of purpose or vision for their community. All they had were memories to hold them together. But then, when they were huddled up inside a house, one day it happened. Looking back on it, it was hard to explain in clear detail just exactly what occurred. There was a feeling in that house that deep down they could tell something else, someone else, had descended upon them for a visit and had taken charge. It started as a warm feeling. The air was charged with a sense of power and potential and holiness. And then they felt it on their skin, every hair tingling with excitement. A wind was blowing, not just any wind, but one that seemed as if it had traveled to them across an entire ocean, over the boundaries of time and space. This cosmic whirlwind rushed in and shook the house to its foundations. They could feel it, not just with their external senses, but inside as well. Their minds, their hearts, their very souls were engulfed in a raging fire of mystery and wonder. They looked at each other's faces, and below those flames they could see simultaneously a mix of fear and excitement, of shock and marvel, of release and surrender. Though it seemed at first like they should remain silent in the presence of this otherworldly power, soon they began to speak. To speak truths that seemed to grow from some wisdom beyond their own selves. And then to their complete amazement, while they spoke their words, slowly they began to sound different. What came out of their mouths were languages that they had never actually learned before. It was the undoing of Babel. They spoke of God's truth, God's word, God's transformational love. The experience was so intense and profound that it spilled outside of their small house onto the city streets. And that's where the adventure really began. For all of a sudden, this small group of disciples' encounter with the holy came crashing into the large international crowd in Jerusalem, and nothing was ever the same after they met. The miracle of Pentecost occurred, The miracle of understanding. The miracle of crossing linguistic and national and cultural divisions. The miracle of unity. Bringing together as one those whom the powers of the world had sought to scatter. It wasn't merely that these pilgrims, that long list of countries, had come from interesting and exotic places. No, some of them came from lands that were at odds with one another. If the story happened today, if the author of Acts was writing down this tale today, he would tell us about some different countries. He would say that the disciples and all the crowd heard themselves speaking in the languages of those from Israel and from Palestine, from American soil and from across the border, from Russia and from England, from Syria and from Poland, from North Korea and South Korea, from Iraq and Afghanistan, from France, from Egypt, all together as one. The core Christian message, the mighty deeds of God done in Jesus Christ, were being proclaimed beyond all divisions and across all human boundaries. The miracle of Pentecost was the worldwide unity of those listening to this message. And the churches serving as the chief agent of the Holy Spirit for this task. This event, this miracle of Pentecost, shot the church at warp speed into the work of crossing boundaries and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to transform and reconcile the world. And to this day, that adventure of faith continues for the band of followers. Over the ages, there are a few interesting traditions that grew around the day of Pentecost. One comes from the Celtic Christian community, ancient roots from which Presbyterians still have a particular spiritual affinity. The story goes that it was Columba, Saint Columba, some would call him, who traveled with 12 of his companions, leaving Ireland, heading towards Scotland to spread the Christian message. And when they got just far enough away where they could no longer see their homeland in sight, they landed on the day of Pentecost. They landed on a tiny island called Iona. And there they formed a community. From there they sent out an international mission movement for centuries that followed, that transformed the spiritual landscape, not only of the British Isles, but of all of the Dark Ages as well. A little bit more fantastic, there's a tradition as well that King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table set out for their quest all around the known world for the Holy Grail, and the day that they left Camelot was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is a day on which to begin an adventure, to leave what is familiar, to leave behind what is sentimental, nostalgic, false memories of good old days when nothing was ever wrong, to leave and go out, not just on our own, but together as a community of fellow adventurers, out into the work of ministry, out into lands unknown and languages not yet learned, out by the call of the Holy Spirit, who still calls us together and sends us out as a community of witnesses to be about the work of transforming the world. The Spirit calls us and equips us for this unexpected journey among people and places that we would never expect to go. 30 years ago, the Holy Spirit had something special in mind, something hidden up its sleeve, when it called Sally Connell to come serve as the secretary of this church. She says that on the day she accepted the job, she figured that working at a church would be pretty boring and ordinary, there's no real work that, of course, would have to be done. Those adventures rarely go how we expect. Sally has been an agent of the Holy Spirit in our midst over these years, holding us together in times of celebration and sorrow, in periods of strength and division and renewal. Talk about the work of speaking in other languages. The Holy Spirit called this lifelong faithful Roman Catholic to come and shepherd us Presbyterians. If that's not a glimpse of the Pentecost miracle, I don't know what is. And what an adventure these years have been and continue to be ahead. The Spirit calls us into unexpected places among people that we would least expect to serve among. And the Spirit calls us out, not just into nice Christian churches like this one. The Spirit calls us out into the harsh realities of a world that seems run many days by all sorts of other spirits. Not just the one that is holy. In our days now, we see newsreels filled with the work of other spirits. The spirit of apathy surrounds us often when more people care about a wedding of a prince and a princess across an ocean than about actually having real conversation about stopping children being gunned down in their school hallways. Spirit of apathy. The spirit of greed and selfishness that surrounds us in a world that assigns value to human life and dignity based on whatever side of whatever boundary we live on. In a world that sees difference in color of skin and languages spoken as a threat, not a blessing to our unity. A world filled with tyrants around the globe who seek to flex their muscles over those under their control just to show how much power they have. The spirit of discord that seems to surround us every day in a world that preaches an empty message of division and disunity, that sees compassion and compromise and forbearance and listening as weakness rather than as true, fruitful gifts of the Spirit. A world that says if you don't agree, then divide and go away, scattered by the powers, ignoring the Spirit's call for reconciliation. There are many other spirits at work in our world today. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Triune God, the Spirit promised by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, calls us to head face first into this harsh world. To go as agents of reconciliation. To go willing to speak a language that is not native to our own comforts and our own memories of home. To go and be about the surprising and marvelous and unexpected work that the Spirit alone has in store for us. To go and be the body of Christ. And so it's appropriate that on this day of Pentecost, this day of many celebrations, that we include in our worship celebrating this meal, this supper, to which our Lord invites us and from which He sends us out, from the table of fellowship, communion with the community, to go forth in His name, to go out on the adventure, the grand odyssey of faith, knowing from where we came, even if we don't know to where we are sent. Friends, may our journey not conclude by coming into these walls, but may it begin with Pentecostal fire. Thanks be to God. Amen.